Listen now to the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, from the 12th chapter, verses 46 through 50. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
I'm going to try to keep it under 20 minutes just so that the Presbyterians who've gathered today will do a handstand down the center aisles because they'll believe in miracles again. Good morning, church. At 5 a.m. this morning, I had 120 handwritten pages. Lord, have mercy. But in an unparalleled act of magnanimity, by 8 a.m., I'd scratched up to 40 pages. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, church members and visitors, friends. It's wonderful to worship the Lord with you. I love your inclusivity. Why, you even let a Presbyterian preach. What's the church coming to? Today is the Lord's Day, in the church and Father's Day in the culture. It's a day set aside for Sabbath time worship of our Heavenly Father, whose love is inexhaustible for us. Jesus tells us what the Father's love is like. The Father, Jesus said, why, he's like the shepherd who has 100 sheep but leaves 99 to go after that one who was lost and finds it and carries it back on his shoulders, rejoicing. God is like the Father, Jesus said, who sees his son coming back from Las Vegas, down and out, broke, sorry as all get out. And when the son approaches, the father is filled with compassion and love, and he runs towards the son, throws his arms around his son, hugs and kisses him, crying like the day when he was a brand new baby born, and arranges the biggest party that Northwest Denver has seen since the Dems held a post-election victory party. God the Father, Jesus tells us over and over again across the pages of the gospel, is crazy about us, begs and pleads us to come back, to turn around and fall into God's waiting arms. I will welcome you, God says. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. Today is the Lord's Day in the church, and we celebrate and praise Heavenly Fathers in worship. Today is also Father's Day in the culture, set aside to honor fathers and grandfathers and men we love for their fatherly and nurturing ways to us. You fathers and men are special, I have you know. You get one day just for you, one day. But would you believe egg salad gets a whole week of national recognition? And so do pickles, a whole week. And then there are the red squirrels. The red squirrels get a week also. Wait till the folks in Olney, Illinois, home of the white squirrel, hear about that. But dads and granddads, don't be upset. We mothers just get a day too. It's the same for us. Now you know why the culture's going down the tube in a handbasket. Today is Father's Day, and many of you are here with fathers or with mothers who've been a father to you as well. With a grandfather, perhaps, who is like a loving father to you. Today is Father's Day, and it's a time that we show fathers respect and love men who exhibit Christian fatherly virtues. Today, fathers all over the country and grandfathers are going to open up gifts they already know is going to be just another tie or another shirt. And today, dads will get crazy socks, books, and another crescent wrench and act totally surprised. Fathers seem to take all of that in good stride and thank us profusely, even for ties that they'll never wear. We remember our earthly fathers today who give us acceptance and love. What is a father? Some unknown sage wrote, "A father is as great as he dreams, as great as the love he bears, as great as the values he redeems and the happiness he shares. A father is as great as the thought that he thinks,
A supportive and loving father is precious in his child's eyes, in his wife's, in his partner's eyes. The time that a father takes with his child is even more precious. Children love it when dad goes to swim meets with them, when dads go to a son's recital, when dad teaches a son how to ride a bike. The time that you dads take and granddads to pray together will teach your child that God matters to you as well. Dad, the time you take walking your colicky baby during the night so your wife can sleep. Dad, the time you take to show your son to repair a lawnmower. The time you take, Dad, to hug your child's mother as she prepares dinner. Those times are priceless in your child's eyes and remain with your child for a lifetime and inform the man he or the woman she will become. In his book entitled Dear Dad, Doug Webster shares the results of over 1,000 interviews he held with children in early childhood up to the early teens, and their answers are heartwarming. Dear Dad, I love you because you love me and Mom. Mike, age 9. Dear Dad, I love you because you take time out even when you're too tired. Josh, age 7. Dear Dad, I love you because even though you and Mom divorced when I was 3, you never divorced me. Janet, age 13. Fathers, grandfathers, men are important. They are forever indelible parts of our lives, even when we are estranged. I remember this story from Spain. A father placed an ad in the Barcelona newspaper. It was simple, brief, and to the point. Pablo, my son, I forgive you, and I love you. Meet me in the Socla this Sunday at 11 a.m., your father. That Sunday morning, several thousand Pablos gathered in the town square, looking, searching for their father. I still get choked up about that. And I get choked up when I remember fathers gathering to see if their sons were among the 255 slaves liberated in Sudan. And I remember an elderly father was reunited with his youngest son, Lual, who'd been taken as a 5-year-old. For 5 years, that father searched for that boy, risking his own life. And then when he recognized him in the group, he ran towards little Lual, and we couldn't pry Lual out of his arms. And the first thing that Lual's father did was give praise to our Heavenly Father. And we exploded with joy and hallelujahs. Why, even the fathers whose sons were not reunited with them were among those freed, rejoiced. It's a celebrative day today. We're going to have new memories that will be forged. It's a day of concern for those of us in our midst, especially those who will be praying, whose father, whose husband faces life-threatening, life-giving surgery today. This is also for some of us a day of sorrow, whose fathers died last year, and we wonder how we're going to make it through Father's Day today. I was looking at a Father's Day card at Walgreens a couple of weeks ago. I was charmed by some of the words, and some cracked me up and I laughed out loud. Some were with now provided nostalgic memories. So I didn't notice the clerk who came by in that royal blue smock that she wore. But without any kind of introduction or preamble, she just sighed and said, "I loved my dad. He was the best dad. You know, even now, I want to pick up the phone and call Daddy just to talk to him." But for some of us, she was filled with memories. And I think if I would have stood there longer, she probably would have spent at least a half an hour reciting those happy memories. I was Daddy's girl, she said. And I did stay there for a while. It's wonderful, these memories that come flooding out spontaneously. But for some of us, Father's Day is a day of complexity or ambivalence, especially for those of us who had a father who abandoned the family, left mother high and dry with 4 children to rear, fathers who issued more criticism and ridicule than encouragement and praise, fathers who never said, "I'm sorry," fathers who never said, "I love you,"
fathers who were abusive. Who in that seminary theology class so many years ago would ever forget John during a discussion of the Trinity? He declared adamantly, "I refuse," he said, "to say Father. I'll say God or Mother, but I'll not say Father." "Why can't you bring yourself to address God as Father?" Dr. Blesch, the professor of theology, asked John. "Because my father stomped the daylights out of me until the police stopped him," John sobbed, and dissolved into cries and tears. And remember Doug Webster's book in which he interviewed 1,000 children? Some answers were heartwarming, as you heard read, but others were heartbreaking too. "Daddy, please come back. I still love you." Susie, aged 5. "Dad, why don't you ever say that you're proud of me?" "Dad, why don't you ever say that you love me?" Hannah, age 11. "I remember him as if it were yesterday. He dodged bullets in Vietnam. He was a brave man, and it took courage to stand at his father's grave and cry out, 'Dad, why couldn't you ever tell me that you loved me?' Oh, I know you did. But why couldn't you tell me just once, 'I love you, son'?" "I only have one memory of my father. He'd been away at war, and when the war ended, he became a prisoner of war in France for all too many years. I was returning from the village with my cousin as we approached a steep incline, and she said, 'There's your father, Heidi. He was tall, blonde, and handsome.' I never saw him again." We children who didn't grow up with a father know the emptiness of losing a father to death, to abandonment, to divorce, and the impact that it has on each child. We know it deeply, that nothing is ever the same again. And in some inexplicable way, we're forever looking, searching for a father in our lives, and sometimes in all the wrong places, in all the wrong men. What does the Word of God have to say for those of us who feel like fatherless children sometimes, or yearning, searching, looking for a family, yearning, searching, looking for a father? Do you remember today's text? Jesus' family is standing outside the house. Mary says, "We're going to go in. We're going to get him. Have you heard? Why, he's healing. He's doing all kinds of things. And the temple police has caught on. Why, you know, and they're going to get after him. We better bring him home, don't you know? Do an intervention." And so they go to the house. It's filled. They have to send someone else to go inside. And someone says, your mother, your brother, your sisters, they're out there asking for you. We expect Jesus to comply, to come out. But the story takes a different turn because Jesus says, "Well, who are my mother and my brother?" And looking around at the crowd and not even going outside, he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sister, whoever does the will of God. That person is my mother. That person is my brother, and that sister and mother." Jesus' response to his family is revolutionary, because Jesus, in one sentence, establishes a new family, don't you see? It's an extended family. It's a scope beyond the nuclear family, bound together, not by blood, but by doing God's will. Bound together we are, not by blood, by obedience to God. It's not what his family expected. And across the years, we've paid all too little attention to what Jesus did in this one sentence. Perhaps because years ago, our nuclear families were strong and almost impenetrable from the outside. The fact that Jesus established a new family is precisely the good news that we need to hear today in our time, in our changing world, in our changing complicated world. There's hope. While God ordained that humankind live in nuclear family units, this passage also we learn that Jesus ordained that we can live in new family units, in extended Christian family units, families that complement and strengthen, and in some cases, take over when the nuclear family leaves off. It means that we are not only left
to our own devices if our family is small, that we never actually need to feel alone again. Why? Because we have a gigantic family in Christ. All we need to do is get acquainted, that's all. That's great news. That's great news for families that are so small like mine that, well, we can fit into a Volkswagen Beetle and still have room for three of you. It's great news for us when we move from state or even to country, when we feel like we're alone, that we have an extended family awaiting for us. When we go away to college, there's the church, a family that awaits us. And it's a great text for this church. This church where inclusive love is preached and lived with authenticity. Why? Because you, after studying for a year, grappling with God's word and witness of God's word made flesh among you, after a year you voted to become a church where everyone is welcome, where everyone is included as a child of God. And you have become the family of God together. No exceptions, no exclusions, none. And you're allowing the Father to gather us in, to be one family of God, to live lives doing God's will. This is the Father that Jesus tells us is intimately acquainted with us. Why, he knit us together in our mother's womb, and in his books are written all the days of life formed us. This healing heavenly Father welcomes us home at life's end. Remember John the seminarian? When he graduated, John spoke in chapel and said, "Here's what I learned at seminary. I learned Greek and Hebrew. I learned church history, homiletics, and polity too. But the most important lesson I learned is this. God is my Father, and he is a perfect Father who loves me and you and doesn't hurt us or abandon us. I learned that no human love is perfect. As a matter of fact, sometimes human love is so imperfect that we hardly recognize it as love. But I also learned, that in order not to be destroyed by the wounds of the past that can be inflicted by imperfect and even hurtful human love, that I can trust that the source of all good love for us comes from our Heavenly Father, whose sons and daughters we are. This is the one that Jesus calls Abba. Abba is my daddy and your daddy too. And with that, why, John just sat down. And pandemonium broke out. There was clapping and cheering. There were shouts of Abba and hallelujahs. And good old Dr. Blesch just smiled, but someone thought she saw tears in his eyes. Today is Father's Day. And what's the word from God, our Heavenly Father, from the one Jesus and many of us call Abba? What but this? I welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. No exclusions, no exceptions. None. And we can thank Abba for that. Happy Father's Day, church.